If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor and permitted to give a 19-minute long speech.
And we're going. We're off. We're off and running. All right, everybody, welcome into a little Oscars postscript catch-up show. We're Matt and Bob. We're here to pod about the Oscars again. You're listening to the
analysis.
Bob, the Oscars wrapped a couple days ago. Initial thoughts? I mean, I guess let's start off by the fact that the results of our Oscar bet, everyone wants to know the results. Who has to dress up like Elvis?
I'm looking at Elvis right now.
I'm looking at fat Elvis.
Yes, if you guys are deducing anything, it was a tie. It was 15-15.
Both missed six categories. Not too bad considering.
It's actually one of our better years collectively. I actually think we did pretty well.
17-17.
It's also a pretty predictable award show for the most part, especially in the big tickets.
Yeah, see, that's kind of my first note, is that, like, how do we make this more interesting? There's too many precursors. The Critics' Choice, the Golden Globes, the BAFTAs, the SAGs, the PJs, the I mean, you can't tell the guilds to not hand out awards, but there's got to be a way. I mean, the Oscars, do they have any say over, like, what gets televised? I'm thinking no, but
maybe they should lead off. Why don't we flip it? Why instead of you guys bringing up the rear, why don't you guys be the Kentucky Derby instead of the Preakness? I don't know
earlier
about horse racing, but yeah, lead it off.
I wonder if they set an early date, if the guilds would get in before and just everyone keeps moving up. I think like the Sunday after the Super Bowl seems like a perfect window.
Just have it during the Super Bowl.
Just compete. Go straight up.
Oscars versus Super Bowl.
Which one you tune into, Bob?
God, even John Travolta would watch the Super Bowl. God, has he always been that weird?
For a while, he is very.
I'm like, he gives me the creeps.
He's a creepy guy.
So that's Vincent Vega. When did he go from Vincent Vega to what the hell that is out there?
What was that movie, Return to Earth?
Oh, that was it, yeah. Yeah, whatever it was, where he was an alien.
Battlefield Earth. Yeah, he's like that crazy alien. Terrible, terrible movie. I mean, he's kind of been a weird guy for a while. He's indoctrinated into Scientology big time, so the Dazelle Dazeem thing was pretty...
That's when I started to be like, oh, he might be weird. Because it's like the 90s kind of fooled us. Right, I know we're way off topic already, but like there was a while where people thought Nicolas Cage was just a regular actor. Like they just thought it was just like he was really impressed. Like you'd go watch something like The Rock, you'd be like, okay, it's a little out there, but yeah, he's kind of an eccentric guy. And then in the 2000s, you were like, oh, he's fucking nuts. And now it's
the 90s were just cool like that, where you could see, you know, The Rock and Con Air and all these ridiculous movies and just like
and
wave after wave.
Yeah, but anyway, and then we started to realize these people are actually totally insane. I wonder who the insane people that seem regular today are. Well, anyway, that's for a different podcast.
John Travolta is where the whole lizard people, Hollywood is eating babies narratives come from. That's someone they can point to and be like, I bet this guy drinks the blood of virgins or something. Like it's... Yeah. That's where the Hollywood is weird. It's run by this cabal. That's
yeah, he's
where
the
that
eye
comes
of the hurricane,
from.
Really.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
him and Willem Dafoe. But Willem Dafoe is a Hall of Fame.
Well, what do you think of the broadcasts? I mean, it's I think the ratings were up. So 16 million last year, 14 million the year before. This was 18 million. Only a few short years ago, 2013, there was 60 million people watched the Oscars.
I think overall, it was pretty solid. Opening monologue was nice. You know, a couple Will Smith bits. You know, it was pretty safe. Pauly Shore bit out of nowhere, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, catching strays, Pauly Shore.
Poor Pauly Shore. But then, yeah, I think Kimmel did a nice job for the most part. Mm-hmm. I think they went to Cocaine Bear too much. I thought.
Oh my God, way too much.
I thought, when what's her name came out and she directed Cocaine Bear, and I felt kind of bad that her voice was so raspy. She was probably pissed, like, oh, I'm going out there. It's a huge opportunity to promote my movie. I can't do the bit because my voice is all jacked up. But okay, fun little bit, Cocaine Bear, and then they brought him back out again. It's like, okay, fucking move.
She should have used the guy that was interpreting for Troy Kutzner up there.
Oh, God. Maybe it was the same guy. Who knows?
No, I'm just kidding.
Overall, I think, it was a very emotional night. Like, I thought a lot of the speech, like, Brecken was crying within the first speech was the short round.
Guillermo. The first speech was Guillermo.
Oh, was it Guillermo? She was crying because he was thanking his mother, and she's like, oh my God, his mother must be so proud. And then Short Round came up pretty soon after, thanks his mom. And then you have Jamie Lee Curtis doing to my parents, I won an Oscar, and we won an Oscar kind of a thing. But I thought it started out with a lot of momentum. It was, you could kind of tell the vibes were different. It was much more loving vibes.
Yeah, the first half hour definitely were strong. It was nice to have a host back, get a little mini sketch in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Went back to the Top Gun well. It's a ripe territory. Okay. It's very fertile ground.
You know what? If you were gonna do this, you should have picked the fucking movie. Okay, and then you'd be singing Elvis by yourself.
Hey, you play to win the game, right, or at least tie. no, but yeah, I think he held it together, right? Because without a host, even though he just comes in and does some bits, it does feel aimless the past few years without one.
Like Wanda Sykes and
Terrell. Oh yeah, the three-headed one that was just
who was
so
the third?
Bad.
Anyway, it was a rough year.
Yeah, swing and a miss. That was the worst one I've ever seen. Regardless of the slap as well, but yeah, no, I liked, right away, Kiwi Kwan gets the waterworks going. That's the moment, like, everyone was stoked for that, and it was probably the moment of the night, cut to the end, where Everything Everywhere wins Best Picture, and then, he's accepting he's hugging Harrison Ford. That was a nice moment
as
well.
They kind of telegraphed some of the awards, like Halle Berry going out to give out the Best Actress. She was, like, part of the Best Actress award give out. Wasn't she?
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
She was, with...
And so it's like, you could kind of see, like, the telegraph of, like, at least what they were anticipating that to be, and Harrison Ford giving out Best Picture, and obviously the relationship and everything like that. I was surprised that Short Round didn't give a shout-out to Steven Spielberg. I know he did it
I thought
already,
he would say that, yeah.
But there was a few surprises with kind of where speeches went, I guess I would say.
Well, these guys have, like, done 5 speeches already. It's like, you try not to repeat, and most people haven't seen the whatever, the SAG award speech or whatever other award he's given, or, speech he's given. But, you can't just repeat all the same stuff. Which, again, goes back to the point we've already made. I think the Everything Everywhere All at Once theme of the night, I was kind of on board with. I think it helped the ceremony.
Yeah.
The only one, if I were to take it back, we were both on Carrie Condon, just to break it up. I mean,
yeah.
In terms of pure performance, if you put aside the whole feel-good narrative, and Jamie Lee checks that box, I don't know how you felt about her speech with the whole, we all won an Oscar. I'm like, yeah, well, actually, just you did. But I get what you're saying.
Well, that's a nice sentiment. But I do think in...
Pretty much, just deserving, though, across the board, I thought. I mean,
this is one of the most, this is the most critically acclaimed movie ever at the Oscars, though, especially like in the big ticket. It won picture, directors, screenplay, and 3 of the
editing.
4 acting awards. Like,
And editing.
I mean, it's like, that is huge.
No movie in history has won that many above the belt.
Titanic won a bunch of like sound and sound mixing and a bunch of shit like that.
Well, Lord of the Rings went 11 for 11, but no acting.
But no
awards.
Acting awards. Yeah. And so I think the acting awards are a bigger deal, and it's going.
Well,
to
they're not weighted more on our list.
But it kind of makes me feel. I don't know if you feel this way, but the Oscars does this sometimes where it makes you dislike a movie that you otherwise liked because it over acclaims the award.
Like Coda, La La Land, yeah, backlash to like, well, I liked it, but now I didn't like it that much.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, yeah. it's a nice movie, but I mean, I think we're going too much in the other direction now. Yeah, I think that happened to me a little bit. Like I knew Everything Everywhere was going to do well, but when it won when Jamie Lee Curtis won, I was like, okay, yeah. Now it feels like we're getting
the sweep
out of
is
control.
On.
Yeah, I felt like it was gonna get out of control.
And I was wishfully thinking or hoping that just that one award, I think, would have kind of clawed back a little bit of, let's not give it everything. Because mm-hmm. Jamie Lee was fun. It's a different role. And when she appeared in the movie, and because every character you meet, like, I remember that person. And then they keep coming back and they're used and they're teased in the beginning. And then every single person has this crazy role to play. And it's cool. It's fun. It's. Yeah. I just think, you know, in some cases the nomination is the award.
Is it an achievement in performance?
Like, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't always need to be a breakthrough, but a substantial achievement in performance. I think she was having a lot of fun and a lot of makeup. I think that I don't know if it was a breakthrough in an achievement in the craft.
The problem with the whole thing, and this is the worst part about the Oscars, is that, like, she ran a great race. Like, she's, you know, alongside Michelle Yeoh and everything, like, such a game campaigner, as opposed to Carrie Condon and Angela Bassett, who was pissed, sitting there, like, just stone-faced, like, this motherfucker. Which I hate about that. It's just, like, can we just, like, go into a dark room and just, like, watch all the movies and your industry professionals and, you know, just try to get it right?
I'll just leave it. I'm just kind of exasperated. Every year that I go on in life, I get less and less interested in the Oscars. So
and most people in the world too, like, prognosticating about this thing. It's so trivial. And I think, you know, as far as history is concerned, it's always fun to look back on what was nominated, and usually. As a whole, the nominated body of work for the year is fairly accurate. Mm-hmm. It's like the winners.
They get wrong.
Yeah, because it's like it's a momentum thing. It's getting lost in the moment. And then, you know, you look back through the lens of time, you're like, how the fuck did, what was it, like Kevin Costner for... Kevin Costner, Dancing with Wolves, that movie beat out Do the Right Thing or something like that. Just like, there's so many examples of,
I would,
like,
even say a recent one that isn't a travesty, but I still think they got it wrong, was Leonardo DiCaprio losing for Wolf of Wall Street to McConaughey. It was a nice year that he had, but, like, no one's thought about Dallas Buyers Club since. It was a nice movie, and it was kind of had a body image shock, and it was a commitment to a role. But I mean, I still think that Wolf of Wall Street is the most iconic movie from that year. That's the one that stood the test of time. No one talks about Dallas Buyers Club, you know, and one of them is more accessible, obviously. That it's you don't go back to, you know, an 80s AIDS pick too much. But I don't know, I think Leonardo DiCaprio was better that year.
Yeah, well, I got a better one for you. I mean, 2011, Social Network losing to The King's Speech.
Yep, I got it wrong.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Though I'm sure someone would stand on a table and tell me I'm nuts and that McConaughey was brilliant in that movie. So I guess that's also the point.
Yeah, that's a tough call because, you know, that was at the height of the McConaissance. And
That's not the point.
We're talking
about the
Dallas.
All that stuff fades away over time. And that's where that's where you get wrong winners.
I'm saying Dallas Buyers Club was like a deserving peak of that movement. I think he was better in True Detective, yes. But that's a TV show.
And he also was in Wolf of Wall Street, and he was pretty cool in that. And everyone was just kind of like swept up in a bunch of McConaughey talk. The same way I think Brendan Fraser, and we kind of buried the lead to begin with, because I will actually watch the Oscars next year because they didn't give the award to Austin.
That's right.
So
yeah, one more year.
Everybody, you got me back. But yeah. I think all these people that are hype about Brendan Fraser winning probably haven't seen The Whale. And I think that there's a lot of blind bandwagon support because the movie has a dense and dramatic theme. He looks surprising, like when you see him, it's
transformed,
shocking. It's a fish out of water in terms of what you've seen him do versus what the narrative of the movie is. He looks different, and also you get this like 90s nostalgia, and I think people just were like, yeah, Brendan Fraser. And I think a lot of the people that are kind of high-fiving in the office the next day haven't watched The Whale. And if they did, they'd be I actually didn't like that much.
Just watching it with like head in hands, just like,
and that was the worst speech of the night. Like, I was very disappointed with his speech. I think he used 14 different nautical.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like, my director was like the captain of the ship, and this Oscar is like the harpoon, and the script was like a lifeline to the. I was like, enough with the whale puns, dude.
Yeah. Should have just got up there and said a true thing.
Honestly, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of...
The shitty essays that he was grading in the movie?
Yeah. No, it reminded me of all of the captain puns in the wedding vows during Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers, yeah. I was just
like, you're
that.
The captain of my ship, and then Rachel McAdams...
Will you be my first mate?
And like that seriously was the theme of... Brendan Fraser's speech.
Yeah. I just like at Cannes, you know, a 7-minute standing ovation. Like, just, I can't imagine an entire crowd sitting through that movie and just like wanting to get up and,
yeah!
Well, I guess because, yeah. Well, because you're also watching it with him. So, you know, it's like you're watching it with all the filmmakers. Like, Cannes is like something like a film festival is different. You know, people that get up and applause, like my friend Taylor Brendan when we watched X-Men Origins. Yep. You don't get up and applaud when none of the filmmakers are in the room, especially not to that movie.
Hey, I needed a beer. I think, listen, man, it's Brendan Fraser. Is it a travesty? No, I think it was a pretty weak year in terms of best actor, to be quite honest. I mean, we had our Colin Farrell pulls, or Pascal, if we knew that was never going to happen though. But I think I'm okay that he won. I just thought the speech was left a lot of people wanting, especially the people that wanted a moment. It was like, oh, I was actually cheesy as fuck.
Yeah. Well, what's fun about the watching it is that because we fell out of ballot and just try to get the most right out of 23, it doesn't matter if it's best picture or documentary short. There's drama between us and vested interest people where it's like Top Gun goes sound. Okay, I'm one
My
up.
My heart
and
was pounding during sound. Yeah. I was like, relax. I was like, this is it. If he doesn't,
I was
get
up.
This,
I was pumping the air. I was like, yes!
People
like
should,
Randy.
You know what we should do next year? Because she was like, you guys should stop picking the same stuff. What we should do is each category do a confidence pick or something. We should rework the system a little bit to where we can, you know, not be so aligned in the ballot, though. We'll solve it at another year, but I have some ideas.
Is that like a survivor pool where you have 100 points and it's like, I'm putting 50 points on Brendan Fraser?
Something like that, yes.
And if he wins, I get 50 points.
Exactly.
If he, you know,
yeah,
got it.
Exactly. I think we can do something like that, but we'll for another time. I don't want to waste listeners.
We tried like the locking it in stuff, but that gets a little tricky where it's like, oh, I just saw Top Gun. I'm locking it in for Best Picture.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of reckless.
We'll fix it later. But anyway.
Speaking of locking it in, had we done any, I would have probably been sunk because I was ready to call Top Gun for cinematography not nominated. Mm-hmm. I think I was going to call Colin Farrell after seeing it, you know, and then but wanting to wait, knowing that there was like a lot of buzz for Brendan, I held off. So that kind of would have gone very poorly
picking Women Talking for Best Adapted Screenplay, which of course won because I know you want to get into it, but.
Women Talking goes adapted. I'm clawing it back. Bob, you get we both were on makeup. You get costumes for Wakanda. So you're going up there. Editing goes Everything Everywhere. My Top Gun editing falls away. The race was neck and neck.
Yeah, it was actually
kind of
exciting if you were tracking it, which I think the only person
if you were...
was Uncle Terry. But.
Yeah, I mean, any other standouts from the thing? I just... The Oscars has got to get away from its obsession of being like little Grammys, and
the songs. Yeah, it's such a drag. It doesn't make you want to see the movies. A lot of the songs aren't featured in the movies. I think that's always been a drag of the show. I think having Melissa McCarthy come out just to tee up a
Little Mermaid commercial.
Just play the Mermaid commercial during that. We don't need to sit there and like.
Teeing up is where the time, like teeing up the songs, having a song performance, and then teeing up the nominees again during awarding best song. That's like three sections of airtime.
For an award that doesn't matter.
The probably the lamest award. And yeah, okay, you get Rihanna, you get Lady Gaga this time around. It kind of worked out.
Rihanna has won all of 2023 by March, though. So
yeah, I saw that post. She's appeared in two Super Bowls. One for the
they can't do the Super Bowl and the Oscars on the same night because what would Rihanna do? Just run across the street? I don't know. I think
exactly.
The other thing I'll say is it was cool. We always kind of wish they did more kind of celebration of movies or talking about the trades a little more. I think the Oscars.
Just gonna bring that up. Yeah,
it's a great opportunity to educate people on a little bit of the behind the scenes, and I think they did. Mm-hmm. They brought the actual costumes out during costuming, which I thought was it was a small move, but I thought it was good. What they were doing with cinematography, with like talking about Orson Welles, I think those were a couple of little moments where I was like, okay, you guys should lean into that more.
Yeah, they used to do this way more. Like, okay, Michael B. Jordan looking into this ancient old lens, and it like raises and lowers that, and there's actually someone on stage like gathering up film and as like a pantomime. It looked like there was the actual costumes that they flash to. But what I want to see is they used to do this when they would announce the nominees. It's a screenplay. They would have someone like reading the stage directions, and then they do this on Instagram, some of these like film accounts, where like the scrolling of the page, and then you see a clip, and it's kind of cool. You're reading it, but someone would read that out loud.
You can see the script scrolling across your screen in as the scene is going on at the same time.
Same with like, I wish they spent more time on how stuff was made, like cinematography, like showing, like they do this too, where the actual footage is rolling and then like kind of the behind the scenes is rolling simultaneous. Special effects as well. They used to describe how sounds were created more. They would do like little featurettes. Mm-hmm. Instead of just having people walk out on stage and like talk us through it, like I kind of want more of like video packages of kind of explaining it and showing it. And like you said, it's a great platform for educating. And I find that stuff really fascinating. I don't really care if it's, Janelle Monáe talking about whatever. It's mm-hmm. like, I think go more in depth with it in a fun way. I don't know. But I think the goal is just get as many celebrities out there as possible. And
yeah.
Fine.
Did you hear any of the complaints about who they used in the In Memoriam or who they featured in the In Memoriam?
The snubs of the memoriam is the dumbest thing ever.
Well, they didn't have Anne Heche. They didn't have Paul Sorvino. They didn't have some. They snubbed some people for sure.
I wonder how that works. Like, is there like a this like picture lock moment where this needs to like no one else that dies from here on out will be featured because it takes too long to edit them in? I don't know.
I can't remember who passed away like right before the Oscars one year, but they were like, they're not going to be in it because it's like we have a cutoff date. There was like a whole thing about it. They were like, don't be surprised if you don't see this like super famous person because of the cutoff.
But who is making the call on what gets in and who isn't featured? I mean, I will say that, the actress that was in Triangle of Sadness, she passed away from a heart disease, like a freak thing on the festival circuit. All right. I mean, that's something to have included.
Yeah.
That people have pointed out. I didn't really get the joke about Robert Blake, the actor who was
accused of killing his wife and just like a
discredited
actor. Overall, pretty solid night. Thrilling race that me and you had, came out a tie. So we have young Elvis and fat Elvis that will be hitting the people were texting me saying, hey, what was the outcome? What was happening? I'm trying to figure this out. It looks like you guys tied. What's going to happen? And I said, we both got to go. We both got to do it. So
what was your other proposal, that we would just stuff our faces with pizza?
Yeah, we would just gorge ourselves with pizza. as the whale.
Whoever tapped out.
Yeah. Whoever taps out wins, I guess. I
don't know. Gross. Like a man versus food, yeah. Side by side. Yeah, no, we'll rent the costumes. We'll go sing. A
little less conversation. A little more.
We gotta do
one each plus a duet.
We're gonna look really cool walking into the bar.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, man. We're gonna get beat up for sure. So.
Yeah, I'll get up on stage and do some Blink 182 in the Elvis costume.
There you go.
What the hell is going on here?
Otherwise.
Well, cool. Yeah. Oscars 95 in the book.
Put it in the books.
Oscar bet Bob is forever doomed to be hoisted by his own petard. Considering you're usually the one that comes up with these. Cool. Well, yeah. I pretty decent show. I was excited to watch. And, you know, there's just... It's a guilty pleasure at this point. You know, the intrigue. It's mostly because me and you kind of have fun with, like, every category is equal weighted, and there's tension. And I think there were some nice moments.
What was your favorite moment? Let's end on that. Like, favorite moment.
It's got to be Kiwi Kwan. I mean, just Mom, I won an Oscar! And tears flowing, so genuine. Like, I don't know if there's anyone else. I like kind of the nervous, like, the cinematographer guy from... All quiet, just like so nervous and just kind of. I thought the happy birthday song was
nice. I think Short Round winning was number one for me as well. But I'll give you a couple of shout outs. The happy birthday moment was really sweet. I think the Daniels winning for screenplay was actually a pretty solid speech when he thanked his teachers. And then the other guy talked about how he has imposter syndrome and you know, how he, you know, struggled to believe in his own voice. I thought that was a really clean speech as well. Not as great as Short Round, but, you know.
No, there were some good ones. And, you know, and they were probably expecting to have a few, you know, shots, you know, spins at the wheel. So I like that they kind of made three different shout-out attempts. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. But yeah, Jimmy Kimmel, pretty solid. Some decent bits. The getting room tone, I enjoyed that.
I can't take any more bits that have to do with the show length. It's been done since 1998, and I'm so tired of them. They're just so predictable. But anyway, sorry. I know I'm a cynical asshole.
No. That's a good point.
His show's four hours long. Yuck.
How you guys doing? I put some food under your seats. You hanging in there? The Will Smith stuff I thought was decent. All the slap references, maybe one less. I could have done with one less, but I like that his opening monologue. We talked about, you know, we've got a crisis team, and then he thanked the crisis team at the end.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Well, my favorite joke about the runtime length was Tina Fey, and she said, "Tonight's show is scheduled to be 4 hours long, or as Martin Scorsese calls it, intermission."
There was one where it's like, it was Golden Globes, Ricky Gervais. It's like, last year's ceremony was so long. By the end of it, Leo was too old for the date he had brought, or something like that. Or his date was too old. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, cool. Yeah, no. Solid effort there by the Oscars. People were tuning in. I don't know how they measure all the streaming crap. I have to sign up for YouTube TV to watch this damn thing. I don't know if 18 million is strictly just broadcast ABC channel, but I don't know if it includes all the, if that doesn't include all the people watching on the streaming and the Hulu Plus, then probably did pretty good numbers.
There you go.
So yeah, we'll cut it there. Apologies to Matt Damon. We ran out of time, we'll get back up with some new stuff maybe later. Creed 3's out. That's something I want to check out.
Yeah, check out some stuff, man. All right.
Cool.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Hope you guys did well on your ballots. Make sure you treat each other with respect, and we'll see you down the road.
See you down the road.